cuando estaba en el seminario, uno de mis ministros era un refugio para personas sin hogar. Un grupo de nosotros seminaristas íbamos a visitar a los residentes. Veíamos televisión con ellos y dirigíamos un estudio bíblico. Lo que descubrí en esa experiencia fue que muchos de los residentes del refugio no tenían muchas pertenencias personales, pero eran muy fuertes en la fe. Por ejemplo, tal vez no sabían de dónde vendría su próxima comida, pero aún tenían confianza en Dios. Eran pobres en las cosas de este mundo, pero espiritualmente ricos en fe. So when I was in seminary, one of my ministries, or apostolates as we called them, was to visit a homeless shelter once a week. And a group of us, we would go visit weekly with the residents that were there. It was a long-term homeless shelter, so they'd stay there a while. And we usually would watch television with them and also lead a Bible study. And it was a way to kind of get to know them, to talk to them a little bit. And what I discovered in this experience was that many of the residents at this homeless shelter didn't own a lot of personal belongings or have a lot of things, but they're very strong in their faith. For example, they didn't know where their next meal or their next job might come from, but they still had a lot of confidence in God. So they were poor in the things of this world, but spiritually, they were very rich in their faith. Eso es contra lo que nos advierte nuestra segunda del apóstol Santiago. Nos dice que no favorezcamos a alguien que se visite muy bien por sobre alguien que es pobre. Santiago que dice elige a los pobres de este mundo para que sean ricos en fe. ¿Por qué? Bueno, cuando eres pobre no tienes muchas cosas que compitan por tu atención. No estás distraído por todas las preocupaciones de las cosas materiales. Una persona que es pobre puede concentrarse en lo que importa, especialmente las cosas del Señor. So that's what our second reading from the Apostle James is warning us about. He's telling us not to favor someone who's dressed very nice, right? Who might come into a church or a temple. And James said, versus someone who's poor, like not to favor someone. And so James tells us that God chooses those who are poor in the world to be rich in faith. Why is that? Well, when you're very poor, you don't have lots of things that are competing for your attention generally. Or you may not have a lot of things distracting you. A lot of material things anyway. So a person who is poor could focus on what matters, especially the things of the Lord. Ahora bien, no basta con ser pobres materialmente, tenemos que ser pobres espiritualmente. Ser pobres espiritualmente significa que somos humildes. Escuchamos al Señor y confiamos en que Él proveerá. Ser pobres espiritualmente significa que no dependemos de las cosas materiales para salvarnos, porque creemos que solo Dios puede salvarnos. Entonces, ¿somos pobres espiritualmente? ¿Confiamos en el Señor para todas las cosas? Porque podemos ser pobres y no ser pobres espiritualmente. También podemos ser ricos y ser pobres espiritualmente. Hay santos ricos, pero todos ellos eran pobres espiritualmente y confiaron en el Señor. No pensaron que su riqueza podría salvarlos. So it's not enough that to be materially poor. We have to become spiritually poor. And being spiritually poor means that we're humble, that we listen to the Lord, that we trust that He will provide for us. It means that we don't depend on the material things of this world to save us, but on God alone. So we should ask, are we spiritually poor? Do we trust the Lord in all things that we do? Because we could be poor, not have a lot of stuff, but we may not be spiritually poor. We can also be rich and be spiritually poor. There's a lot of saints throughout history that were wealthy. So it's not that God is against having wealth, but they were all spiritually poor. They all trusted in the Lord despite their wealth. They didn't think their wealth could save them. Quiero relacionar esto con nuestro evangelio. Ser pobres espiritualmente significa que somos capaces de escuchar al Señor. Jesús se encuentra con un hombre sordo que es mudo. Le pone el dedo en la oreja y le dice epeta, que significa abrete. Esto todavía se hace en el rito de bautismo. El sacerdote lo pedirá esto al Señor después de que se completa el bautismo y tocará a los oídos y la boca del niño diciendo, hace oír a los sordos y hablar a los mudos. El Señor nos da señales físicas como los sacramentos para recordarnos las cosas espirituales que está haciendo. El Señor quiere sanar nuestra sordera, especialmente nuestra sordera espiritual. Quiere que escuchemos y podemos escuchar su voz. Por supuesto, hay muchas cosas que compiten por nuestra atención. Por ejemplo, nuestros teléfonos, las redes sociales, las preocupaciones sobre nuestras vidas y el mundo también. Podemos estar tan concentrados en esas cosas que no podemos escuchar la voz de Jesús en todo eso. Podemos ser tan ricos en esas cosas materiales que no escuchamos a Jesús. So I want to tie this all to our gospel. Being spiritually poor means that we're able to listen to the Lord, right? Jesus encounters a man who is deaf. He's also unable to speak. He's mute. And so he places his finger in his ears as well after spitting, using his saliva, which is a little gross, but he does it anyway. And he says, epitha, which means be open. And this is still done in the rite of baptism. After a baby is baptized, the priest will then go up and touch their ears and also their mouth, right? And asking the Lord to open it so they can proclaim the word of the Lord. And so the Lord gives us physical signs and sacraments to be able to show the spiritual things that he's doing and give us real grace through them, like water and baptism or in the bread and wine in the most holy Eucharist. And so the Lord also wants to heal our deafness, especially our spiritual deafness. He wants us to listen to him and be able to hear his voice. Now, of course, there's lots of things competing for our attention, our phones, social media, all kinds of things online, concerns we might have about this life or our life and the world. We could be focused on so many of those things that we're not really listening to the Lord. We could be rich in material things and not hearing the voice of Jesus. ¿Cómo nos volvemos espiritualmente pobres y sanamos nuestra sordera espiritual? Podemos eliminar las cosas de nuestra vida que nos distraen o al menos limitar su uso. También podemos pasar bastante tiempo en la adoración eucarística. A veces queremos hablar o cantar mucho durante la adoración, lo cual es bueno, pero también necesitamos estar en silencio y escuchar la voz del Señor. Incluso si no sucede nada, sigue siendo bueno para nosotros. El Señor sigue trabajando durante este tiempo. También necesitamos escuchamos unos a otros. El Señor nos habla otra vez de otras personas. Si estamos distraídos todo el tiempo, entonces no podemos escuchar su voz en adoración o en otras personas. Pídale al Señor que te ayude a volverte espiritualmente pobre y sanar tu sordera espiritual. Él puede mostrarte donde no es necesario que eso sucede.
So how do we become poor spiritually and also heal our deafness? Two things. One is to remove those things in our lives that distract us, but also spend quiet time with the Lord in adoration. And this means not talking all the time or singing all the time in adoration, which is good, but making sure we're listening to the Lord. And even if the Lord doesn't do anything, even if we don't hear anything, he's still working in that silence. We also need to listen to each other, see where the Lord is speaking to us through other people, and to ask the Lord how to help us become spiritually poor and to hear our spiritual deafness, because he can show us where that needs to happen. Because when we become spiritually poor, we become rich in Christ.
Porque cuando nos volvemos espiritualmente pobres, nos volvemos ricos en Cristo.